Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll get to ask D. Mace in 30 minutes. So get those questions in for D. Mace. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Predators in action tonight at Chicago. Puck drop at 7:30. And joining us now is Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, it's great to catch up with you on a Friday this week. And it is a much better conversation this week versus last week because I had to place a little bit of blame on you. We talked to you, Elliot. And then that night, the Predators ended their 18-game point streak against the Arizona Coyotes. And then last week, I said, Elliot, I'm gonna hold you accountable for that. And then they turned around and beat the St. Louis Blues and put themselves right in a position to clinch a playoff spot. So, Elliot, you've redeemed yourself.
Yeah, I told you not to worry, Carolyn. I told you everything was going to be okay. And I never had a doubt. I haven't always been right. I've been wrong a lot. But I'm really happy I was right about this one because Nashville is one of the great cities in the NHL, and I love to see it in the playoffs.
And we love to see it, too. I just wanted your perspective, national perspective, because we've obviously been talking about it from a local perspective, you know, hyper-focused on the Predators, just where they were at the beginning of the season. And Barry Trotz was telling people, Predators fans, look, be patient with us. You know, this is going to take some time. Now fast forward to April, and the Predators find themselves in a playoff spot with a lot of encouragement about what this team can do in the playoffs. So just kind of your perspective on Andrew Brunette and Barry Trotz in year one, the Predators, where they started and now where they find themselves.
Well, this year is a big win for them, Carolyn. there were a lot of skeptics, not just in Nashville, but around the league. You remember a month into the season, you guys were in 31st place, and it didn't look great. Things could have really collapsed after that whole U2 thing. I think that, to me, as much as anything else, tells me that the players that have been assembled there are real pros, because I've been in situations where there were issues between the employees and the managerial class, and it just blows up and doesn't go anywhere good. But that was turned into a positive, which I think is very important. And, you know, I think that they've earned the spot that they're in, and I think that they've really impressed people. You know, I think Brunette will definitely get votes for Coach of the Year. I think he's going to be in the conversation. I could see Trotz getting votes for GM of the Year, but that one's a little different because that one's voted on after the second round of the playoffs, so it tends to be people who are still standing at that time, although it doesn't 100% have to be the case. I think Yossi is definitely going to be in both the Hart and the Norris conversations. Another guy who I think Saros will be in the Vezina conversations. And, you know, I think Philip Forsberg, I mean, he's not going to win any awards, but this year people have been reminded what a good player he is. And the other one I heard is, I hear a lot of for is Ryan O'Reilly. Like, just a lot of the reason that you guys signed him, he's had an excellent season.
I think a lot of Predators fans have been reminded about Philip Forsberg as well. And I remember when Barry Trotz signed Ryan O'Reilly, a lot of the reaction was, well, why bring in a guy who's older and expensive? Didn't we just unload a lot of older and expensive players? And Barry Trotz said, look, trust my system, trust the culture that I want to build here. And frankly, I can't even imagine this Predators team without Ryan O'Reilly this past season.
No, he's a pro. Like, he really is. He's really a smart, intelligent, mentally strong, prepared player. He's always prepared. He knows what he's doing. He always has a plan. He leads by example. And the other thing, too, is, age is just a number right now, Carol, and that's what I like to tell people. And you know, it's how you prepare. It's how you take care of yourself. And he's really good at that. He's always prepared. He takes good care of himself. He's smart. He's not the fastest. I mean, that's the thing. In a game right now, which is so much speed, he's not the fastest guy, but he always knows where to be, and he always knows where the play is going. And I think that and when you have young players who you're hoping take the next step, you're hoping that they see the way he approaches the game and it becomes like osmosis. You know, he is the guy that you learn from. And I think that's definitely happened. The other thing, too, is especially at the center position, when you've got young players who are learning, you know, guys like Novak, others, some of the other young centers you have, it's nice to have someone on an off night for everyone or in a tough situation. You can say, you know what, I need this kind of a person here. And O'Reilly is that guy. He can take the pressure off some of your learning players. He can put them in positions where they can learn on a more gradual curve. On nights that go wrong, he can really stabilize things. He eats a lot of big minutes that eventually you want your young players to get to, but they're not going to be ready for all the time. He's that kind of guy.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman. Check out his podcast, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Elliot, there was an article written by Adam Vingan, who does a wonderful job. You can check it out on Sportsnet. And it was entitled, Did the Nashville Predators Peak a Little Too Early? And he just sort of backed it up with some numbers, comparing them to their 18-point streak compared to the last six or seven games this year. And the numbers have been a lot different. Do you believe in your years, in your time covering sports and playing hockey, do you believe the whole peaking too soon theory?
I don't know about that. Derek, if they hadn't gotten better, they wouldn't be anywhere near the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you can argue, Derek, that they peaked too soon. They peaked kind of when they had to. If they didn't get going at that time, they were out. So, I don't know how you could look at it and say they peaked too early before the playoffs, because they were far from guaranteed to make the playoffs. I just think when you have a run like that one, you're going to come down to earth. 82 games is a lot. Nobody's perfect throughout them. If the run started at the season, I wouldn't expect them to go 76-0-6. Like, I just think that doesn't happen. You're going to have stinky parts to your year. And, you know, I just think they were due to come down a bit. But, you know, the key thing is, Derek, is I think they've stabilized. You know, sometimes you come off a streak like that and maybe you lose seven in a row. Like, that hasn't happened. They stabilized. And I think a lot of us also thought that if they get in, Derek, they'd be the eighth, the wild card two. And they're going to be wild card one. And that's pretty impressive. I can't imagine, you know, a month into the season, like I said, when they were in 31st place, anyone would have imagined, like, you would have thought if they were getting into the playoffs, they were sneaking in by the hair of their chinny chin chin. Like, they were not going to be making it the way they are, which is very comfortably over the first team that's going to miss the playoffs, either Vegas or more likely St. Louis.
Now, also, Elliot, in your time, in your experience talking with coaches in this league, because also this is another question that we talked about this week, Willie, Caroline, and I, because now that they've, you know, found themselves in a playoff, they got the X next to their name, when do you start resting guys? You don't want to rest them too soon, because you want to go into the playoffs with some type of momentum. You don't want these guys to have too many days off. So, you know, you talking with other coaches, what have they said is the best way to sort of approach that? Because that's where the Nashville Predators are at now. More than likely, they'll get the number one seed, but it doesn't hurt to have a few extra days of rest.
Well, I just think, like, you guys have a pretty unique schedule. You guys, Derek, are one of the first teams to finish. Mm-hmm. You have Chicago tonight, and I saw that Saros isn't – I think that was actually really smart. They're not – they didn't take Saros to Chicago. They took him to – they kept him home today. And they're going to have, I guess, Troy Grosnick is going to back up Lankinen tonight. I think that's a really smart move. So you guys have Chicago tonight. You have Columbus tomorrow, back-to-back. And then you have Pittsburgh on Monday. And then you have, you could have 4 or 5 days. You'll have 4 days off for sure because the playoffs start next Saturday on the 20th, although we don't know yet who's playing when. I'm pretty sure Toronto's playing next Saturday, but since you're not playing them, I don't know where you're going to be. Now, this is the way I would look at it if I was in their shoes, Derek. Mm-hmm. Their top guys, you play one of the two games this weekend. I mean, you guys are locked in. You're going to pretty much, you're going to finish, it looks like you guys are going to finish seventh. You know you're going to face, probably. It looks like you're going to play Vancouver. The way I look at it, I shouldn't say you guys are locked in. You could finish, in theory, you could finish eighth. But, you know, the way I would look at it is, if you're going to rest anybody, it's going to be tonight or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That's what you're going to do. And the reason I don't think they rest anyone Monday, Derek, is because you're going to have all those game days off. If you play guys tonight and tomorrow and then don't play them Monday, that's a week at least. I don't think you want that. I don't think you want that. I think you want the guy. I think you want your players to play Monday. And the other thing about that, Derek, is, and I don't know what the rules were in football when you played, but that could be a huge game for Pittsburgh. That could be a game where the could make or break the Penguins and other teams for the playoffs. And I know that in the NHL, I think teams kind of respect that. Like, there was a situation, I can't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago, where Toronto had a cap problem and they might not have had an NHL goalie to play a game if the league wasn't willing to give them, wasn't willing to approve a roster move they were going to make. And basically what the Leafs told them was, look, you guys can do whatever you want, but this game matters tonight in the playoff race, and would you want us to have a guy who has never played in a game before in a night that matters to the playoff race, or would you rather we do it tomorrow when it doesn't matter? And that's kind of the way the league governs itself, is they, in games that matter, you tend to dress your best lineup you can. Ultimately, Nashville has to do what's best for the Predators, but I look at them being done on Monday, and I think they're going to want guys to play Monday and not be off for a week.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Elliot Friedman is with us, Sportsnet and 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, you mentioned earlier UC Soros could be a Vezina contender.
Yeah.
Do you think that voters would be willing to look past the first half of the season in which UC Soros really was not playing, like UC Soros was not playing like a Vezina contender? And is that maybe a testament to how he's played coming down this past this stretch the past couple of months?
Well, first of all, the people who vote for the Vezina are the general managers. So in theory, they should be a lot smarter than the media, Carolyn. So what I would say is that they would ignore the first beginning of the season. I think Hellebuck's going to be hard to beat this year. My guess is he's likely the guy. But I don't think the first part of the season is going to matter. I think they look at the full package. And plus, everybody knows Soros and respects Soros. I don't think the first part of the year means a thing.
I think Predators fans saw on full display the other day just how freaking good Connor Hellebuyck is. Last one from me, Elliot. Arizona, this Coyote situation. It came out earlier this week that there are talks about moving the franchise to Salt Lake, and then those conversations escalated very quickly. You reported several little tidbits about how the NHL could just dissolve the Coyotes as a team. Walk us through what has happened and what might come next for the Arizona Coyotes?
Well, I think, Carolyn, I think this is farther along than everybody wants to admit because there are lawyers involved. And lawyers look at the world in a very binary way. It's either done or it's not done. And until it's done, it's not done. And they don't like to talk about anything that's not done. So I think they're a lot farther along, but it's not complete. I believe the hope was that they could announce it next week, the move, after the Coyotes finish their season. They finish on Wednesday night against Edmonton at home. But I don't know if it's going to be done at that time. There's a lot of lawyers and papering involved, and it takes time. So I'm not sure that it will happen, but they're working on it. I think what you're going to see is possibly the Coyotes organization declared inactive, which means that the Coyotes will be kind of like into a stasis. They're going to say that, look, the team is being paused or suspended operations or whatever they want to call. And the contracts of the players will be purchased by Ryan Smith, who owns the Utah Jazz. And the team will be moved there at some point. And, I just think that the arena situation became untenable. Even if they won the auction by their own admission, they thought the earliest they could have a new arena was the fall of 2027. And I just don't think anyone wanted to play in Mullet Arena for three more years at a minimum. So it became a situation where they wanted to move. Where they said this is the best solution. Ryan Smith is a person that the NHL is very excited to have. He's very excited to be part of the group. I understand he's committed a lot of money to upgrading the arena, and they're supposed to get a new arena as part of the Salt Lake City Olympic bid, which I believe is for 2030. It's either 2030 or 2034. I can't remember which one. So, they really like him, and he's enthusiastic. So they felt it was the best solution to a problem they felt couldn't continue. And that's why we are where we are.
Now, Elliot, when you say, because they're in this transition, but when you say suspend or pause, are you saying that the team will not play, but this individual will buy the team and then still pay the contracts, but they're not playing?
No. They will play.
Basically,
what happened is, they're not. Derek, they're not purchasing the name or the logo or the trademarks or anything like that. They're basically, the league is buying. It's kind of a unique deal, Derek. Mm-hmm. The league is buying the team from the current owners of the Coyotes, and they're going to give a new team to Utah. It'll be the same players, mm-hmm. but it'll be different name, obviously, a whole new history. That's kind of the way it works.
Okay. Has that happened before where the NHL has to buy a team? And I'm only asking because I haven't followed the NHL that heavy to know whether there was a team being bought by the league or not.
Derek, it's not a stupid question. And there's nothing wrong with that, the way you're asking at all. I mean, I totally understand. When Atlanta went to Winnipeg, the team was sold directly by the Thrashers to Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. That was a $110 million sale plus an extra $60 million relocation fee. So I think that one was $170 million. This one's going to be a little different. The league is going to buy the Coyotes for about $1 billion, and then they're going to sell the team to – or it's almost like a half expansion, I think is – the way someone described it to me this morning, Derek, was like a half expansion.
Okay.
The league is going to buy the team from Arizona for $1 billion, around there, but I've heard $1 billion, and they're going to sell the team or give a new team to Utah. Some people have reported it as $1.3 billion. I've heard $1.2 billion, but it's in that area for sure. So that's kind of that's how it's all going to work. So it's a bit unique. It's a bit different. But I think because of, like, technically the Coyotes are going to be, like I said, inactive or in stasis. Mm-hmm. They kind of have to do it this way. And also, I think the current Coyotes owner, he's a bit of a wild card, and the NHL wants to deal with him directly.
Hence, Coyote Wild. Arizona Wild.
There you go.
Yeah.
Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, always appreciate you for joining us. Thanks for being flexible with us this week, and we'll catch up next Thursday.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. Appreciate it. Elliot Friedman, he is the very best. Willie Donick will join us in about 30 or so minutes. We'll break down Andrew Burnett's approach to these next two games at Chicago tonight, back home on Saturday, a back-to-back with three games left in the season, and you've already clinched the playoffs. We will get into Ask D. Mays coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Get those questions in for D. Mays. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, they tune into 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Texas A&M. The time in here is incorrect, so I'm not even going to read it. But Vanderbilt Baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com.